Well, hey everybody, welcome to episode 177 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it's brought to you by our good friends at Coldwell Banker MidAmerica. Coldwell Banker is rooted in the legacy of our founder, renowned businessman and philanthropist, Marvin Pomeranz. We continue to tell his story through our love of people, homes, and the communities we serve. Our integrity guides our focus to empower people to make the best real estate decisions possible. We pair local ownership and knowledge with the power of an international brand and the most advanced technology to elevate the customer experience and expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. All right, well, my guest today is an Ankeny native and the former head football coach at Iowa State, where he coached the Cyclones from 2009 to 15 and led the program to three bowl games. He recently took a new coaching position, so we're going to talk to him about that. He is Paul Rhodes. Paul, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Dan. Good to be here with you.
Always good to see you. Well, hey, we were supposed to meet up with you in New Orleans on Sunday during the Final Four, but unfortunately our trip got canceled due to some travel snafus with American Airlines. And I understand you had some issues of your own flying up here, and you were on American too, right?
We're not flying the flag very high for American Airlines after a couple weeks of travel that went awry. Yeah, I did. I was flying from Pensacola to Des Moines through Dallas and didn't get into Dallas until many hours late. Spent the night there before I flew in here on Wednesday, but it's always good to be home.
Oh, sure. Well, that would have been fun to hang out in the Big Easy. And I assume you've been to New Orleans before. You know, you probably recruited in that area before, haven't you?
I did. When I first got into the profession, the national convention, our coaches' national convention, used to really rotate quite a few places, and it stopped there frequently. So I'd been there for a couple of those, and then as I branched out across the country, the state of Louisiana as well as New Orleans is always a hotbed for kids. So yeah, at several stops, I've been in there to recruit.
Well, yeah, as bad as I felt about our trip getting canceled, you know, I felt bad for your brother Tony because he's never been to New Orleans, and our other two buddies, Brent and Rod, have never been to a Final Four. And of course, we had a trip lined up a couple years ago to Atlanta for the Final Four, and that got canceled because of COVID. You know, so I've been to New Orleans for a couple of Final Fours, and I know how much fun it is, and those guys don't know what they're missing.
it's a great city, and I had the fortune to go to a Super Bowl there. And Steve Sukup took myself and my boys down. We had a couple players that played for us at Iowa State that were in that Super Bowl, and it was fun to be a part of.
Which one was that?
It was San Francisco 49ers and Baltimore Ravens.
Baltimore.
Harbaugh,
okay.
Versus Harbaugh, and Kelechi Osemele was an offensive lineman on that Baltimore Ravens team.
Right. Well, Paul, you recently took a new position as the defensive coordinator at Gulf Shores High School in Alabama, and I saw the photo you posted the other day of doing some workouts right there on the beach by the Gulf of Mexico. So are you getting settled into your new home?
Getting settled in. We've been in our new home for a little over 2 weeks, and always good to get family back together, and right now it's just my wife, but good to get her in town, and been on the job for a little over 2 months and getting acclimated to the new responsibilities and the new surroundings.
Well, of course, you spent last season as a defensive analyst at Ohio State, and we'll talk about your season with the Buckeyes here in a bit. But I think a lot of people, you know, were surprised that you made this move after coaching at the collegiate level for more than 30 years. You know, is this a move that you had been contemplating for a while, or was it just, you know, an opportunity that came up that interested you?
I wouldn't say contemplating, but I wouldn't say that I haven't thought about it. Whether it had been back home here in Ankeny, helping out Jerry and Ryan or something of that nature, or we've loved the state of Arizona, whether it's through travel or coaching there when I was in Tucson and high school jobs there. So I had considered it, but it just the way college football is rolling and there weren't a lot of opportunities on the table, and this opportunity presented itself, and I looked into it, and the more I did, the more I liked it.
Well, I read a while back that Gulf Shores has a pretty competitive program, and I believe they have some other coaches on staff who have some college experience, right?
The head coach, Mark Hudspeth, is a longtime head coach in college football. He was a head coach at Louisiana Lafayette. He was a head coach at North Alabama. He was a head coach at Austin Peay. Was the offensive coordinator for Joe Moorhead at Mississippi State, a guy that was my GA actually when I first arrived at Pitt in 2000. And then Kenny Edenfield is our offensive coordinator, another collegiate coach. And then Mid Roderick is our offensive line coach. and he was just the O-line coach at Colorado a year ago. So there's a lot of collegiate experience on the staff, as well as a bunch of great young coaches that are just getting into the profession and figuring out what coaching is all about. And I think I'm having as much fun coaching coaches as I am coaching the kids.
What kind of facilities do you have down there?
They're really nice, and Mark is very aggressive. He's extremely organized and has a fantastic plan. And part of the plan was physical upgrades to the facilities. The schools, we're 10 minutes from the beach, if that. And the schools, elementary, middle, high school, are lined up as you come in to the grounds, and the football facility was in the back, and it was a little bit out of shape, let's just say, when he arrived. And they've done a nice job with the fields, with paint, with flooring, with, you know, et cetera. And it's really a nice setup that we have there at Gulf Shores.
Well, of course, you're back in your comfort zone as the defensive coordinator. Last year, you were in a new position for you as a defensive analyst. And before that, you were the defensive coordinator and then the interim head coach at Arizona during that 2020 COVID season. You know, but that was kind of a crazy year for you, you know, for a lot of reasons. But I'm sure you're happy to be back, you know, in charge of your own defense, right?
Yeah, it's fun and certainly a little bit less stressful and less demanding. Learning as I go, figuring out how much is enough, how much is too much, and I certainly believe that less is more at this level, having fun teaching the kids, which is certainly minimized in comparison to what you get at the collegiate level as far as time spent. But I enjoy that. I enjoy the new challenges of learning things like that and enjoying every day.
Well, have you had enough time to evaluate, you know, the personnel that you have to know what kind of defense that you're going to play? I mean, do you have certain, you know, formations or styles that you want to implement?
Yeah. As I joke at other stops, we'll be a little bit zone. We'll be a little bit man and pressure in between. But we have good personnel that is capable of lining up and being aggressive and playing man coverage, which is one of the first things you got to ask yourself as a coordinator: can we play man? And then have the ability to roll out some zones as well. We're a 5A classification. There are 7 classifications in the state of Alabama, so you still have some players that have to play both ways, and that takes a little bit of management to. How much can you feed those kids and they can understand the offensive playbook as well as the defensive playbook?
What's your roster size then? How big is the team?
We are, for what will be 9th through 12th grade going into the fall, we are roughly mid-50s right now in our numbers, and that's minus a handful of baseball players.
Well, I don't know if it's been much of an adjustment for you to go from coaching college players to high school kids. You know, here at Ankeny High School, they hired Rick Nelson away from you and I in 2015, and I know he said it was an adjustment for him, basically going from coaching young adults to children. So has that been an adjustment for you?
It has been less of an adjustment than I probably thought after the initial shock wore off. And, I knew the physicality of the kids and the maturity of the kids was going to be different. But the first day walking in was a little shock to my system, how drastic the change was in the maturity level of the kids and their physical growth and so forth. From there, teaching them and how they practice and how they work really has been fantastic. I mean, the kids come with an attitude and a work ethic every day, maybe even a little bit superior to the collegiate athlete this day. But I think the overall number one transition and change that I'm having to get used to is the lack of teaching time. You got so much meeting time. And you're specialized with your unit or your group, and it's not that way at the high school level. And I mean, you just get a meeting started and it's ending, and that's been challenging.
Well, I know in the world of football coaches, you know, you probably can't plan too far ahead because you guys do tend to move around quite a bit. You know, but do you think Gulf Shores is a place where you could end up staying a while, or you know, perhaps retiring there?
Hard to look into the crystal ball and tell. I don't know if the college bug is burnt out of me yet or not. I don't think so. But 6 months from now, I might be so satisfied and enjoying myself so much in the location that we're in that it could be. But I'm just going to take that one season at a time, see how this season goes, and who knows? I could want to become a head high school coach after this year's over, or be content and continue to do what I'm doing.
All right, listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker Mid-America. Gerstmann Mortgage is also a sponsor of the podcast. Gerstmann, the Midwest premier mortgage lender, is proud to be part of the Ankeny Fanatic podcast. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home, vacation home, upgrade or remodel an existing home, or refinance your current mortgage, Gerstmann Mortgage is here to help. With over 60 years in the mortgage industry, they have security, experience, and unmatched service. You can visit their Ankeny office, call 515-964-5952, or visit Gerstmann.com to get pre-approved today. Well, Paul, you just touched on this a little bit. I wanted to get into that. I know you told me a few years ago when we did a podcast at your lake house in Clear Lake that you still had a burning desire to become a head coach again, you know, at the collegiate level, because you felt like you had some unfinished business from your time at Iowa State. Now, when we did that podcast, you were in the process of going from Arkansas to UCLA, and a lot has obviously, you know, changed for you since then. You spent 2 years with the Bruins before coaching 1 year at Arizona, and then the last year at Ohio State. You know, so has that burning desire to be a head coach, has that maybe dissipated a little bit for you?
No, the desire's still there. It's the ability to get one that's become a more of a slap in the face realization for me. I got my foot involved with a couple things, but never got very far. And recently, and certainly a lack of success that I've been associated with hurts in that. But no, the desire's still there. It's just whether the opportunity is ever going to present itself again.
Well, certainly a lot of things have changed in the college game in the last few years. The transfer portal has become a big factor after the COVID season. You know, and the new NIL law has allowed college players to have the opportunity now to benefit financially from their name, image, and likeness. You know, as a coach, do you think that these changes have been good for the sport as a whole, or do you think they've kind of created a whole new set of problems?
There are aspects of them that are good for the student athletes. I don't think it's good for the game. I don't think it's good overall for athletics, and it has drastically changed the game. And you notice it everywhere, Dan. And I'm talking about the discipline and accountability within your own program. What you feel you can do, what you feel you need to do, what you're allowed to do administratively. Programs spend as much time recruiting their own rosters as they do the kids coming into the program because of the portal. They spend as much time looking at other collegiate athletes as they do high school athletes, and that's bad for the game, and that's bad for kids. Anybody that believes that recruiting isn't being done on other college rosters is they got their head buried in the sand because it's taking place. Whatever channels people are using to do that, they're doing. I the name, image, and likeness is, you know, I'm happy to see the kids getting those opportunities. But again, what it's done under the table and how it's affected the rest of your roster and the recruiting process, it's been hard to see, knowing where I started in 1989 and what recruiting was then. Somebody said here recently to me a very simple statement that recruiting isn't recruiting anymore. And being in it for 33 years, I understand exactly what that means. And if you haven't, you might not, but it's just a different way of operating and not what I was used to, not what I got into business for.
Well, and talking about the portal, I think that's an even bigger issue in basketball. You see some of these teams that play in the NCAA tournament, like LSU's entire roster has turned over since they got done playing because, you know, a couple of the kids went pro and the whole rest of the roster went into the portal. I mean, that's just crazy.
It's insane. And basketball, you know, one or two players make a huge, huge, huge difference. And but when you come to the whole roster like that, how do you build culture? How do you truly develop a program the way you want it to be, whether it's a roster of 13 or a roster of 85 scholarship players?
We also wanted to ask you about Bob Bowlsby announcing his departure as the Big 12 commissioner this week. Now, Bowlsby received some criticism, you know, for somehow not knowing that Oklahoma and Texas were kind of scheming behind the scenes to leave the league for the SEC. You know, and there was some speculation that Bowlsby was leaving now because he was kind of tired of the whole, you know, realignment discussion of the last few years. Now, you've coached in all but one of the Power Five leagues, I believe, at one time or another. You know, what do you think of the whole realignment issue? Do you think it's been good for the sport to have, you know, schools jumping from one league to another, basically just in search of more money?
Yeah. Bob Bowlsby is as good at what he does as anybody in America. I have so much respect for that man and what he did for the Big 12 and what he's done for collegiate athletics. I really believe that he wasn't aware that it was a complete a blindside type of job, because I was at Pitt when what was then the Big East Conference and Big East football back then was very competitive with the likes of Pitt, Miami, Virginia Tech, Boston College, West Virginia. I mean, it was a very, very competitive football league, a very, very hard-nosed football league. And the ACC came in there and just sideswiped us, and we had no idea. I mean, in the middle of the night, and I was extremely bitter as a coach that took place. Mm-hmm. And I was mad at our commissioner at the time, thinking to myself, how could this happen? How could we be this blindsided and our league just be destroyed? So I've seen it firsthand, and Bob is just too good at what he does. To not have been able to do something about it if he was aware in a timely manner. Just be speculation on my part, but he's had to battle a lot of legal things since he's became the commissioner, and I am not a fan of realignment. I'm not a fan of the change. I'm not a fan of what it's done to rivalries across the country. But I also don't think it's done and it's here to stay.
Well, I think a lot of the Cyclone fans around here were concerned, you know, when they announced Oklahoma and Texas were leaving, that could be the demise of the Big 12, but they did seem to recover with the schools that they brought in, especially, I mean, it's going to be a great basketball conference, but I think they seem to be on solid footing now.
Yeah. And again, it's a huge credit to the leadership, and that starts with Bob and the presidents and the athletic directors in the league. But I was at Iowa State when we thought we were goners. I don't even know the year, 2010, or that, you know, whenever it was when the other schools were leaving. So that was not a fun night, because it was dismal then, and I'm sure they felt it was dismal this time around, and here they are now with what will soon be a 12-team league, and a very strong 12-team league.
Well, how important do you think it is for the Big 12 to find the right guy to replace Bowlsby?
Extremely important. Extremely important. Don't know what direction they'll go in with that. I would not be surprised to see a sitting athletic director get that job, but it could come completely outside of the NCAA in the hire as well, like the Pac-12 just did.
Of course, you were in the Pac-12 when Larry Scott was there. I think he was a guy with a TV background, right? I mean, and that experiment didn't work out so great, did it?
Not very well. Not very well. And the Pac-12 is so far behind the other Power Five leagues from a financial standpoint, and it's rough on those schools to compete and do some of the things that the rest of the country's doing.
Well, Paul, we had you on the Ankeny Fanatic broadcast in late 2020 when you were in between jobs, and then you eventually landed the position at Ohio State as a defensive analyst. Now, what was your connection to that staff? What led you to the Buckeyes?
Didn't have a connection. Didn't have a connection with the staff, but had a connection to the staff, and that was specifically with Coach Day. Coach Day had coached quarterbacks for Coach Kelly at San Francisco, Chip Kelly, and had played for him at the University of New Hampshire. And then another gentleman by the name of Jeff Hafley, who is the head coach at Boston College, was on that staff with him, and he and Coach Day were also good friends. And Jeff Hafley was my graduate assistant when I was at Pitt part of my time there. So both Jeff and Chip were able to communicate with Ryan. Ryan was looking to add senior analyst to his staff. They had just lost Alabama, and you're looking across the field and seeing Butch Jones and Charlie Strong and Mike Stoops and guys like that, and they felt it was time at Ohio State to add some personnel like that to their staff. Gene Smith, the former athletic director at Iowa State, who's the athletic director at Ohio State, was all for it, and I was fortunate to be able to get on in that role.
Well, I know in that analyst position that you're allowed to do certain duties with the program, but there are also some other aspects of the job that you can't do because of the rules. So for the people who maybe aren't familiar with it, can you kind of explain, what your main duties were and what things you couldn't do?
Yeah, I'll start with what you couldn't do, and that was teach, coach, instruct the student athletes themselves. So, what I'm most passionate and love about the job is that teaching and coaching the kids. And you're not directly allowed to do that. So whether it be an in-season meeting, an out-of-season meeting, game planning with the kids, reviewing film, you're not allowed to do any of that. You can do all of that. You can do it with the staff. You can meet with the coaches that coach them and give them information to relay. You just can't personally do it. And then game day, you're not allowed to be a part of any schematic decisions and so forth. I was actually on the headset and was able to relay other information, but not in any type of decision-making role. After that, I mean, anything that the defensive coordinator or any other position coach would have been doing in preparing the team for the game, I was allowed to do. That part of it, the scheming part of it, the X's and O's, I also enjoy was able to take on what I would say a fairly significant role in that manner.
Well, I'm sure that was an adjustment for you, not being able to deal with the players, like on a daily basis. I mean, did you enjoy that year out there?
I did enjoy the year. I mean, being a part of an elite program like that with so many resources and so many great kids and talented kids and a fan base being what it was and getting a chance to finish in the Rose Bowl with a Rose Bowl win was a lot of fun to be a part of.
Well, yeah, after going through that winless season in Arizona, yeah, I'm sure you did enjoy being a part of such a great program. You guys went 11-2, capped by that thrilling 48-45 win over Utah in the Rose Bowl. That win had to be, one of the highlights of your career, I would think.
It was, and coaching in the Rose Bowl as a home stadium for 2 years at UCLA with a very lackluster fan base and not really getting to experience the Rose Bowl for what it is, and then coming back and playing in it, the granddaddy of them all on New Year's Day and experiencing that way and experiencing victory, was a special end to a special season.
Well, yeah, I was just going to ask you about the Rose Bowl and all the fanfare around it. I mean, does it live up to the hype?
Yeah, it does. It's just, I mean, it's picturesque. It's historic and playing in that game and seeing it filled to the top and what you always hear in watching the game, talking about the sun going down, the San Gabriel Mountains, all that's accurate and true and even more beautiful in person than it is on television.
I'll bet. Well, you guys had a receiver in that game, and I'm probably going to botch his name, but Jackson Smith, is it Nigbo, Jigbo?
Njigba,
okay. Well, he caught 15 passes with 3 touchdowns and a school record 347 yards in that game, which was also a bowl record in FBS history. I'm guessing he probably made himself some money that day, didn't he?
he made himself some money that day, and he was a part of a threesome of receivers that are the best group that I've ever been around in my coaching career. And the other two didn't even play in the game.
Right.
And the other two are potential first round draft picks. And I'd be more surprised if they weren't than if they were. And arguably he was better than both of them. He certainly was on that given day.
Oh, for sure. Well, Paul, I don't know how involved you were with the recruiting of Southeast Polk's Xavier Wampa. He had the Buckeyes among his final three schools before choosing Iowa, and now he's early enrolled with the Hawkeyes. You know, you've obviously coached defensive backs more than any other position throughout your career, so I just wanted to get your quick thoughts on Wampa. You know, do you feel like, you know, he's got a chance to be a potential star, and did you guys think you had a shot at him?
We thought we had a really good shot at him, and I think early Iowa was trailing probably by quite a bit. We felt it was us or Notre Dame where he was going to go. And then Iowa, I wouldn't say snuck in there. I mean, they're the home state school, and we're always present. We're always recruiting him strong. But in the end, and it's something that I sort of like to see, he was able to give a present to his family by staying close to home. And with NIL money now, it becomes easier for families to travel and see more games than they used to, financially speaking. But it still involves a lot of travel, and any whether you're flying out there or driving out there, those are long trips. And the fact that now it's a, you know, under 2 hour drive to go to home games, I'm happy for the family. He will be an impact player. He will be a tremendous collegiate football player and help bring continued success to the University of Iowa football program.
Well, Paul, I'm going to finish up on this note with you. You spent a 1 year coaching at Auburn in 2008 before you came to Iowa State. And at Auburn, you coached under Tommy Tuberville, who's now a U.S. senator from the state of Alabama. You know, did you have any idea when you were coaching there with Tuberville that he had any interest in pursuing politics at some point?
I did not, and I don't know if he even did at that time. But it's not surprising. Tommy is a politician. He can very comfortably step in front of any audience and step up to the microphone and deliver great oration. And obviously he had a passion for this opportunity, and the people of Alabama supported him and were appreciative of him. I haven't heard much since I've been there. What kind of work they feel he's doing, but it's interesting to see him in that role and knowing that I worked under him for a year.
Well, of course, he went into broadcasting too for a while before he went into politics. Now, have you ever thought about doing anything besides coaching, you know, at the end of your career? I mean, you seem like you'd be a good fit for broadcasting.
It's something that I would be interested in. Never really had the opportunity, never been approached. But it would be something that I would consider if given the opportunity. I've looked at other things. I don't know what it would be. I told my wife we should buy an RV park and manage it, and she wasn't very keen on that idea. So far I've stuck with coaching, dropped a level, but still coaching, still carrying my whistle.
Well, hey, Paul, thanks a lot for coming in today. I know you got a lot of things to do today, and I've got to head off to physical therapy. So thanks again for coming in. I really appreciate it.
Glad to be here.
You bet. All right, you've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker Mid-America. At Coldwell Banker, you're not one of many clients. You're our most important client. We listen to your needs to develop long-lasting relationships and provide the best services, professional support, and resources in the industry. We are constantly exploring new and innovative ways to elevate your experience and exceed your expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. Well, I want to thank my guest again for coming in today, Paul Rhodes. I really enjoyed that conversation. It's always great to see Coach. I want to wish him the best of the luck down there at Gulf Shores High School in Alabama. Well, hey, come back next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.